Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Federated National Holding Company Discusses Joint Venture conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the call, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Statements in this conference call that are not historical fact are forward-looking statements, without limiting the generality of the foregoing, words such as anticipate, believe, budget, contemplate, continue, could, envision, estimate, expect, guidance, indicate, intend, may, might, plan, possibly, potential, predict, probably, proforma, project, seek, should, target or will, or the negative thereof, or other variations thereon, and similar words or phrases, or comparable terminology are intended to identify forward-looking statements. The matters discussed on this call that are forward-looking statements are based on current management expectations involving risks and uncertainties that may result in these expectations not being realized. Actual events, outcomes, and results may differ materially from what is expressed or forecast in forward-looking statements made on this call due to numerous risks and uncertainties, including, but not limited to, the risks and uncertainties described in this conference call. Our press release issued today and other filings made by the company with the SEC from time to time. Forward-looking statements made during this presentation speak only as of the date on which they are made, and Federated National Holding Company specifically disclaims any obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statement to reflect new information, future events or circumstances, or otherwise. I would now like to introduce the host for today's conference, Mr. Michael Braun, President and CEO of Federated National. Sir, you may begin.
Good afternoon. Federated National Holding Company is pleased to have announced earlier today a joint venture to form a new Florida-based property and casualty insurance carrier to be named Monarch National Insurance Company. The company's co-venturers are CA Bancorp, a publicly traded Canadian merchant bank, and Transatlantic Reinsurance Company. The organization of Monarch is subject to the receipt of regulatory approvals and other customary conditions. Monarch National will seek to insure single-family homes and condominium units in the standard market within Florida that don't normally fit within Federated National's preferred book of business. This is a great opportunity for us to provide our partner agents with an additional market in Florida's $10 billion personal property marketplace. This will also enhance our distribution effectiveness and further enable us to control our overhead costs with increased economies of scale. This is a great opportunity for us to partner with two quality organizations that are interested in the Florida homeowners insurance market and believe in Federated National's platform to capitalize on that opportunity. Additional property capacity is capital intensive and has been long sought after in the Florida marketplace. We are proud that we will have both a significant ownership stake in Monarch National and also provide managing general agent and claims administration services to the new venture. I'm joined on the call by Pete Brzezelski, our Chief Financial Officer, and we are glad to open it up to your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star then one on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then one. Our first question comes from the line of Arash Soleimani with KBW. Your line is open.
Thank you. Just a few quick questions. Will this be accounted for under the equity method?
Yes. It's going to be consolidated, Arash.
Okay.
We own 42% of it, but Mike and I are the two named officers of the newly formed company, and we are also going to be on the subsidiaries, the insurance company, which is a subsidiary of the LLC, will be on that board also. So we will be directing operations as well as having a 42% ownership. So it's a fully consolidated. It'll be fully consolidated within FNHC.
Okay, so it'll be consolidated, and then there'll just be a minority interest line that backs out the other.
68%, correct.
8%, okay.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so and what type of premium volumes, you know, should we expect to see coming out of this when it launches?
Well, this is Mike. We will be writing voluntary business. We hope to go live January 1st. We're not going to give you specific targets that we're looking for, but we think we can penetrate the market fairly quick. Federated National obviously has been in the market for a long period of time, and I think we've been doing very well. One of the challenges that we have is that our underwriting is tough, and not a lot of risks that we look at qualify. So therefore, we're turning business away. So we think this is a great opportunity for us to provide more capacity to the agents. And the agents' number one statement to us seems to be that they're looking for us to afford them more coverage, more capacity. So we kind of think this is a win-win for all involved.
And when you say that it didn't meet the typical standards of Federated National, what is it about those policies that wouldn't have allowed Federated to write them directly?
Well, I would say that we've really evolved into writing business that what I would call is preferred. This is business that models very well from both a CAT and an AOP perspective. AOP is all other perils. That's typical homeowner-type losses. So we've done very well with that book. The problem is, and the analogy I'd use is that it's like we have a net out there to capture that business, but what makes that program so successful can inhibit our growth in the future. So rather than moving the net, trying to make the net bigger, what we're doing is we'll have another net out there in the marketplace. There's a lot of good quality business out there that we're not able to capture. And this really, neither of these two carriers, whether it's Federated National nor Monarch, do I believe will be competing with the Citizens type business, the business that Citizens attracts in the state. This is business that we're going to be writing in an organic manner through our voluntary agents.
And did you say it was preferred business?
Well, that's a classification that I would put on our existing business, that is preferred type business. It's type of business that, like I said, it models very well. The AOP losses, I think we're doing a very good job with that. With that, it's made our rates very attractive, and we can't rate all the business that we're looking at because really the rate can be not sufficient to cover a lot of other risks that we're looking at. So what we need is more flexibility, and that's the idea of a second program out there, is to have the ability to be able to write more business out there.
Thanks. And then lastly, since you're consolidating this into your financials, do you expect it to, I guess, materially sort of, change the net loss and expense ratios that Federated would have otherwise had on its own?
No. If anything, we'll gain some economies of scale, but marginally. So not to the negative, and possibly to the positive.
So on the expense ratio side, you think it could be on the positive then?
Yes.
Okay. All right, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Ryan Burns with Janney Capital. Your line is open.
Great. Thanks, guys. First question is, how does this affect Federated statutory capital? With the $14 million you guys are putting into Monarch, does that come out of Federated's capital there, or just want to see how that played out?
No, the investment we're making in Monarch will come from the holding company and not from FNIC. So no impact on Federated National Insurance Company surplus.
Gotcha. And then the MGA agreement that Federated is going to have with Monarch, it said it's 4% of premiums. Is it net premiums on Monarch, or is it gross premiums? I'm just trying to parse that out a little bit.
It's 4% of gross premiums written and 3.6% of earned premium.
Ryan, it's the exact same thing that we have for Federated National Insurance Company.
Okay. For your underwriters there at Federated, will they now be underwriting for both books? And I guess the question is, will your underwriters have to wear two separate hats, and how will they decide if there's a borderline risk, between a Federated preferred and a standard line Monarch, how do they decide where to put that risk into which portfolio?
The agent decides where to put the policy. So, in other words, we will be underwriting business from Federated National alongside Monarch National. They'll both be written, and the agent will get two quotes, and they'll make the decision where to place the business.
Gotcha. Great. Thanks. That's all I had, guys.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Douglas Ruse with Lennox Financial. Your line is open.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Doug.
Could you give us a little additional color where exactly the idea came from to create the company?
Sure. There's a couple things, Doug, that, as you know, we've been committed to the voluntary business for a long time, and we really invest heavily in our partnership with our agents. And we think we really do an excellent job with that. One of the challenges is that the agents continuously reach out and say, the service is great, underwriting is great, the claims is the handling is great. The challenge is, why won't you guys take more business? And really, that's the one part of it. The other part of it is that we know that a lot of people are looking to get into the Florida marketplace, but the question becomes, how do you get into the Florida marketplace? Because I think it's a challenging marketplace, and you really have to be partnered with people that understand the market. So really those two needs matched as we have been talking to our partners, which is CAB and Transre, over the last six months plus, and we really think we came up with something that's really going to benefit everyone. It's going to benefit the policyholders of Federated National, because we'll be able to continue to go ahead and continue to write that business. Also, the soon-to-be policyholders of Monarch National, and we think we're going to do a good job with our shareholders as well, because we can do so profitably, and I think it will also benefit CAB and Transre as well, because I think it's going to be a successful enterprise.
Okay. And how exactly did you choose the partners that you've chosen?
Well, there's a lot of people out in the marketplace that have ideas of getting into Florida. To sort that out takes some time. But we're always talking to different people that may have interest in Florida, and we think we've found the best partners out there.
Okay. Will this be dilutive to the current shareholders at all?
You know, Doug, I think that to answer that question, we're going to share in, as Ryan, the last caller, you know, mentioned, our MGA agreement provides for us to make 7.6% of premiums. We also get the $25 policy fee, and we share in 42% of the profit or loss of the new carrier. Mike and I both believe that that carrier is going to be successful, just like FNIC is. So I only see it being, you know, accretive based on everything we're looking at today, you know, that it's going to be an accretive, both from the fees we're going to get as well as the profit we're going to share in.
And Doug, to add to that, you know, in terms of Federated National, we had another, quarter where we wrote a lot of business. We'll be releasing the earnings soon. And basically, we wrote another $50 million of new business in the second quarter. We think we're on a trajectory that is consistent, that we might write in excess of $300 million, maybe $350 million or more in 2014. This investment with Monarch is an investment in the future of our companies. And what I mean by that is that Federated National can't continue on that trajectory forever. It's a big market. It's about a $10 billion marketplace. And Federated National at some point will slow down. I don't know if it's going to be at the $500 million mark, or maybe if it's at the $750 million mark. But those rates, rules, and forms are very competitive, and we can only capture so much of the marketplace. So I believe that Monarch is going to be complementary to us in the regard that we're going to be able to capture good quality business that we were not able to capture before this. So I think it's great for all parties involved, including our shareholders.
Is there any way to give us any idea of what you're thinking you might do with revenue for the first year? Or?
Well, I'll put it this way, that what we've, we as I've said in the past, we quoted over 200,000 policies in the first quarter, and we're only binding about 12% of that. There's clearly no shortage of business that we are looking at, and I believe that the rates, rules, and forms that we are working on and will be presenting to the Florida Office of Insurance Regulation is business that we'll be able to capture. So I believe that we'll be able to capture a lot more of that business that we're currently not getting. I can't specifically tell you if it's going to be that we're going to get another 2% or another 10% or another 12%, but it's in that range where we think that we can write a quantity of business out of the gate that this is worth the investment of our time, our resources, and our partners' resources. We get to look at a lot of business, and we know what the market needs and wants, and we think not only are we answering it with Federated National, we think we can answer that with our new product, which will be Monarch National, and we're hoping to go live with that around January 1st.
Okay. I'll just ask one final question. When you you talk about preferred and standard, could you give us a general idea of what the difference in premium might be between the two markets?
Well, you know, that's more of a statement that I'm using, an adjective that I'm using, but clearly I would say that Federated National's rates are very attractive, and part of the challenge is that their rates are so competitive that we can't always take the risk. So what I mean by that is the average policy for Federated National is in the $1,800 to $2,000 range, and there's a lot of variables there. But I would say for Monarch National, I would expect that to be in the range of 10 to 20% higher. So having additional rate on those policies will enable us to take risks that would not normally be profitable in Federated National's book. So it really opens us up to a much bigger world.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering my questions. It sounds like a wonderful opportunity.
We're real excited about it. Thank you, Doug.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one key on your touch-tone telephone. Our next question comes from the line of Samir Kahir with Capital Returns Management. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. Congratulations on the strategy.
Thank you.
I just have a few high-level questions. First, in conversations you've had with CA Bancorp, do you know what their angle is? Is it to access an uncorrelated asset class, or is it for fees on AUM, or both?
Well, I think they're a pretty sharp organization, and they see a great opportunity in Florida in the property market. And I think that they see an opportunity to partner up with a carrier that does a darn good job servicing business and has a successful platform. And I think we can have a real successful win-win with them. So they see that. It's an opportunity for them to make money and to invest in the long run to make that happen. Our horizon is long. Their horizon is long, as well as Transatlantic Re. Their horizon is long. It's a considerable investment.
Okay. And is this Bancorp's capital, or is it capital they're managing for others?
It's a combination of us, our investing of the $14 million CAB, meaning the capital that they have accessible, as well as Transatlantic.
Right, but CAB's capital that they have accessible, is that their own, or is
it may be a combination. I can't say with certainty, Samir, okay. But I believe it's primarily CAB's, but I can't say with certainty.
Okay, and just looking at the minimum size of equity size for this new Monarch National sub, what was the minimum size that either Demotech or the OIR was looking for?
Basically, the OIR requires new carriers to have $15 million of statutory surplus. Demotech requires a minimum of 25 of statutory surplus to start a carrier. So clearly, we're starting above the minimum of both of those. But as this program develops, and if it takes off, as we want it to, there's obviously opportunities and capital that we could use to grow the business even further.
Okay. And then just a couple of questions on the right of first refusal. Does this give Transatlantic preferential treatment on just the Monarch program or on Federated as well?
No, it's they only have right of first refusal on Monarch National Insurance Company. Transatlantic is on Federated National's catastrophe program, but they, like all of our other partners, we have 46 partners on our reinsurance program. Everyone is the same that we have out there. And to clarify, on transatlantic, up to 15% of the program, transatlantic can have right of first refusal at market terms. So any reinsurance that the board of Monarch National is interested in would be put out to market, and we would get competitive rates. And based on that prevailing rate, transatlantic has the opportunity to participate in the reinsurance program.
Okay, and the brokerage revenues from placing Monarch's program, does FNHC, are they eligible for some of that?
Well, currently we do have an in-house brokerage, which is Century Risk, and then we also use the services of Aon Benfield. So we would have a cat tower that would be separate from Federated National Insurance Company's cat program. But at some point, as it gets bigger, there may be some opportunities where we can create more economies on that. But really, coming out of the gate, they're two separate legal entities. So they're going to be separate catastrophe programs.
Okay. And then just one more on the right of first refusal. I saw there's some language around a potential quota share structure. If this is the avenue you go down, will that be a 1-1, a 6-1?
There's no intention to do a quota share as we sit here today. Basically, there's sufficient capital to come out of the gate to write business in a voluntary manner. We will always look at all of our options to protect our policyholders and to create value for our shareholders. And being in Florida, you can be certain that that would include excess of loss. And quota share is another avenue that can be utilized to protect shareholders, protect our policyholders as well as shareholders. So there's no specific plans for that today, but we'll always consider it based on the conditions in the marketplace.
Okay, thanks. I'll re-queue. Let someone else have a chance for now.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Arash Soleimani with KBW. Your line is open.
Hi, just a couple follow-ups. Will the county distribution for this book be similar to your existing book, or will it further sort of diversify you guys within Florida?
Well, I don't want to say that it would be – there's no intention to make it necessarily that different. And to clarify, Federated National is in all 67 of the counties within Florida. Now, clearly, we have concentration in counties where there's a lot of people where they live, obviously. The Broward, the Palm Beaches, Pinellas, Hillsborough, and so on. And some of these smaller inland counties, specifically up in the Panhandle, there's not a lot of opportunity to write business. So it's not that this is a geographic play in the sense that we're trying to penetrate certain parts of the state that we're not able to penetrate now. That's not the case. So to your point, I think it will be very similar as it's allocated across the state. But once again, it's different types of risks, whether it's square footage, number of stories, construction type, things like that, that we think there's a lot of quality business in the marketplace that we're not able to capture right now. And once again, to reiterate, it's a $10 billion plus market, and Federated National's at around 2.5%. So there's a huge opportunity for Federated National to continue growing, and there's a huge opportunity to grow Monarch National into a profitable, quality book of business.
Okay, perfect. And will you need to hire a few more people for claims and whatnot to sort of service this business? Or?
Sure, and I can tell you right now we're up to 209 people approximately. That's the last number I have. We continue to grow. It'll clearly need additional underwriters and adjusters, but the infrastructure is here. The economies of scale should be realized as we continue to grow not only Federated National but Monarch National, such as IT, accounting, audit, human resources, things like that. Even the executive management team are building and so on. So, yes, there'll be additional resources primarily on the side of in the capacity of underwriters and adjusters.
Okay, great. And I think you guys mentioned that there was a shelf registration out there. So is that kind of to replenish the capital that this is using up to kind of fuel further growth within Federated National FNIC? Or?
Yeah, we're not going to discuss the shelf out there today, but this Federated National Holding Company has committed to put $14 million into Monarch National, and that will come out of the holding company as we have that capital today.
Okay, perfect. And lastly, this is sort of unrelated, but you put an 8K out with revised accounting on your reinsurance program. Is that basically just mean that if you have losses during the year, that your ceded premiums will increase?
Well, basically, Arash, we usually only buy excess of loss to cover our catastrophic exposure. However, reinsurance is abundant, and we not only utilize excess of loss, we saw an opportunity where we could capture some savings by having a quota share. Now, with quota share, that really starts a lot of accounting treatment. So as an abundance of caution, we want to make sure that we put everything out there. But clearly, as the book performs better, there'll be more profit to be retained by Federated National Insurance Company and ultimately Federated National Holding Company. So it's just an additional source of capital that we deployed in our program via quota share to protect our shareholders and policyholders.
Okay, perfect. Thanks so much for the answers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Tom Harmon with Best Week Insurance. Your line is open.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Doing well. Look, just from sort of a macro point of view, I wondered if you might be able to elaborate on whether or not there were certain market conditions that allowed you to do this now as opposed to, say, 2 or 3 years ago or 4 years ago within the Florida marketplace. Are there conditions that are aiding this decision right now that you can point to?
Well, obviously the market changes from year to year and really quarter to quarter within Florida and as well as within the economy. But I would say that the Florida marketplace for the P&C industry, the homeowner writers, is pretty competitive right now. And I believe there's about 50 carriers that have a Demotech rating that are licensed to write business in Florida. We're only 2.5% of the market. We think that we're doing a very good job executing our business plan and working with our agents and buying reinsurance. So we think there's a great opportunity as we continue to service our insureds to do it on a bigger scale. And we've got two great partners that are interested in the same objectives. And really, it's just it's a match made that's really going to create value for everyone, including our soon-to-be policyholders within Monarch.
I mean, would you attribute it to improved cost of reinsurance, Citizens takeouts? You know, there's more room in there, right?
Well, I would agree with you that reinsurance has come down in pricing over the last few years, in part because of an abundance of cash based on policies at the Fed. And I would also say that there, you know, that clearly comes into it. Citizens was on what's called a glide path for approximately, I'm going to say, 6-7 years now, where they were raising rates up to 10%.
Right.
They were a competitor with prices lower than ours 5 years ago, and that's really not the case right now. So the marketplace is very favorable for good competition right now, and we think that we do a very good job in this competitive environment.
And did I hear you correctly maybe I got the numbers wrong, but did I hear you correctly talk about perhaps writing $300 to $350 million more in 2015, Mike?
No, I'm not saying more. I'm saying that currently in the first quarter we had announced our results and we had grown by around $47 million. And that being said, if we continue on that trend, Federated National in 2014 could write $300 million, maybe $350 million. There's a lot of business that we're currently writing, and that trajectory can take us out past 2014. Our investment with Monarch is we believe that there's a great opportunity for the years to come. Clearly, this is not going to impact us in 2014. This is for us for the future, for our partners for the future, and we believe we can create a lot of value for future policyholders. But we don't anticipate writing until January 1.
And just for my own education here, when you talk about the market you're currently in, can you differentiate between the two as it currently stands, the one that you're getting into with Monarch and the one that you're currently in?
Well, basically what you find is that this is Florida, which is obviously impacted by wind. And one of the things the state has done is encouraged mitigation features that can really impact or reduce the damage to homes in the event of a storm. So new homes have a lot of features that really mitigate future damage, and those are things that we think work very well. Now, Florida has a lot of homes that are older that don't have these features and so on, and there's a different rating structure for that. So it's a combination of things. I'm not going to say specifically that newer homes will work in one but not the other, but it's a combination of characteristics that we have identified not only in what models for the reinsurance that we purchase, but also characteristics that we notice in our AOP historical losses. And we've paid out over $700 million in losses over the last 10 years, so we think we've got a pretty good data set to build a new program from.
Was there something statutorily that was preventing you from doing what you want to do now?
Yeah, basically an insurance company and a holding company really can't have multiple programs unless they're different, meaning so let's say you have one that just writes mobile homes, let's say, or another that just writes single-family homes or so on. So really this is a combination. This is a different capital base that affords us the opportunity to go ahead and write similar type of business, but in a different carrier.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Samir Kahir with Capital Returns Management. Your line is open.
Hey, guys. Just a quick question. When do you think this will be capitalized by, or is it already capitalized?
Clearly, we're intending to go live January 1, so it'll have to be capitalized before January 1. It depends on a number of variables, including the approval process as we go through the state, the application, and so on.
Okay. And do you guys have the cash on hand to capitalize it right now if you wanted to?
Yeah.
And if so, how much would you guys have after capitalizing it at the holdco level?
Yeah, we're not going to talk about specifically the capital that we have on hand other than to say that we have the $14 million to go ahead and start Monarch National, whether it be tomorrow or within 6 months. Whatever that may be, we've got the capital on hand.
Okay. And just kind of thinking ahead a little bit, does it make sense potentially in the future to open up even more subs and have other parties, you know, use your infrastructure in a similar fashion?
You know, Samir, I think we do a really good job in what we do. We're operators here that know the Florida marketplace well, and we're always looking to create value for our shareholders. We like to give our agents business, and we're receptive to whatever we can do to make that happen. So this is our current plan, which is Federated National and deploying Monarch National, which is great. But as other opportunities present themselves in the future, we'll be glad to look at it.
Okay. And actually, one last question. I just wanted to circle back to a question I asked earlier about the potential for reinsurance brokerage revenues. You mentioned that you guys do have an internal broker, but I just wanted to make sure. So that does entitle you to reinsurance brokerage split?
I can tell you that we do have brokerage in-house, but our intention with Monarch is to utilize an independent broker to help us get rates at market terms, to clearly identify market terms.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Luke Bodine with Raymond James. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. Just trying to get more a little bit better of a sense of the composition of the two different books between Monarch and Federated National. Maybe could you just talk a little bit more about maybe just the segmentation between the two books of business?
Yeah, basically I can tell you that our rates are very competitive in Federated National, and we're not able to take as much business, bind as much business, as we would like to. So in other words, the rates, rules, and forms work for our current book, and we're looking to expand that. So I don't want to tell you that we're trying to go and start doing depops. That's not what we're looking to do. It's other quality homes that to the untrained eye may look rather similar, but based on our modeling of those risks,
And really the two main drivers is reinsurance costs as it relates to construction and other characteristics of a house, as well as those same characteristics, how they drive AOP losses. AOP is all other perils. Those are your typical insurance losses on homes. So, you know, it's more of a complimentary book.
Okay, and then just in terms of policy limits, are those going to be roughly about the same as your current book? Or
Basically, I can tell you that Federated National, we've got some high limits on our policies. We go, I believe we go as high as $4 million on some of these policies. Now, we have treaties above $500,000 to minimize the losses that we could have non-related to wind. And obviously, our wind program is very robust as well. So it would be similar, but probably in a narrower band for some period of time, whether it's the first year or two. As we have more comfort and experience in the book, we'll be able to do more things with it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Showing no further questions at this time, I'd like to turn the call back to Michael Braun for further remarks.
Well, Pete and I really appreciate everyone's time by either asking the questions or listening in. We're always available. Our contact information's out there. And we are very excited about the opportunity, not only with Federated National, but with our new partners on Monarch National. So enjoy your afternoon. And if anyone has any questions, give us a call.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This does conclude the program. You may all disconnect. Everyone have a great day.